And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I was going to share from one scripture, but Deacon Bracken read something when Jesus said, talked about the kind of death that he was going to experience. This is John 21. And in John 21, Jesus has reaffirmed to Peter his love for him and his calling on his life, even though Peter had failed so miserably. And in speaking to Peter, he asks the question three times, do you love me? And goes through that and tells him to tend his sheep. And he says in verse 18, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this he said, signifying what kind of death that he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. And Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, speaking of John, following them. But the one whom had leaned back on his breast at supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? And Jesus, Peter said to him, when he saw John, said, Lord, what about him? And Jesus said, he said, if you want to remain until I come, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You just need to follow me. So I want to spiritualize this a little bit. Jesus said to him, when you were younger, you used to just go about wherever you wanted to go. But now that you're growing older, you're going to stretch out your arms and you're going to be bound and be led places that you might not would have chosen. You read it again, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. And this was indication of the kind of death that would glorify God. And that's such a beautiful picture of spiritual maturity. I mean, I could get away with all kinds of stuff when I was younger in the Lord. I just kind of, just like as a child, you know, what I required of my two sons when they were little bitty, what I expected of them, the accountability was a lot different than as they grew older, as they understood better. I remember how many times have you ever been around a little bitty kid that misbehaving, who doesn't talk yet really good, and you go, I just wish they could talk so I could really find out what in the world they're thinking and I could explain to them why they can't act that way anymore. Then I would feel better about correcting them. Growing in the Lord, the kind of death that glorifies Him, this taking up your cross daily, is when we come to the place where it's not about me getting what I want all the time, it's about what He wants. Seeing things through the lenses of a Christ. And stretching out my hands and being led places where I might not would have chosen. That's about spiritual maturity. And then when he turned around and he saw John, he said, well, what about him? And he said, that's really not your business. If I choose to do it totally different with him, if he's to live until I come back again, what's that to you? You just follow me. Don't try. You just follow, you follow me. He'll follow me. And if following me goes in a different direction, then you just follow me. Peter was comparing himself to John and thinking, well, that's not fair unless it's true about him too. Spiritual maturity, growing in the Lord, this is where we break through. We break through into these places of seeing things more clearly, surrendering, coming into agreement with the surrender that we said yes to when we got saved at deeper levels, and understanding that at the heart of this thing when I signed up was, I'm going to follow you. I'm signing up to follow you. And if you're now leading me places that I don't really wish you were leading me into, If I don't have this because I want that, but I'd rather do this, and I'd like to sleep all night long and my leg not hurt until y'all get healed or whatever. I'd like for these people to act this way and this way. And what this, how I respond to that, do I get drug along or do I stretch out my hands and surrender? Because that's the only way I can follow him. And was it really all about him and following him? Or is it really all about me and him following me? I was talking to somebody earlier. One of the great curses of Americans and Westerners is how discontent we are. We're very ungrateful. One of the things I learned when I went to Africa early on, so many days that on time I would go, is that they don't really, again, I've said this before, like the young girls aren't depressed because they didn't have a date for the prom Friday night. They're just really grateful there's enough to eat that day. And they're just thrilled that they're in the kingdom. But in the West, where we have so much, it's so visually tempting to compare ourselves to other people, and even in spiritual stuff, compare our ministry to somebody else. We get jealous. We think something's wrong with me. I'm not here. I'm not, this is not going on. It's not as big as this. I mean, I've had people do that to me. I've had people over the years do that to me, like, oh, well, you got to live up to your potential. We thought you were going to be more like this. You know, we're going to be, and I'm going, I'm following him, not you. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. And he said, here's where the enemy comes. And I've been saying this to you lately, is that he's a thief. Scripture says he's a liar. He's a deceiver. Well, what liars do is try to keep you from seeing the truth. It's a deception, because you see, the truth sets us free. And any area in your life where you're suffering with discontent, where you're struggling to complain and be unhappy with what's going on, that's proof to you that there's a truth that you're not seeing. That the enemy's lying to you about the favor and blessing of God. What does it say in Romans 12, 1 and 2? I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, in light of how good God is. So we start there. Whatever's going on in your life, we start with the goodness of God. I urge you, therefore, brethren, in light of the goodness of God, that present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove in your own life that God's will is good, and it's perfect, and it's acceptable. So, example would be, as I believe in God for manifestation of healing in this leg, and it wakes me up off and on during the night, and I don't get enough sleep, I can gripe and complain and be discontent because I'm tired and don't get enough sleep. Or I can go, Lord, every time I wake up, I can praise you. Every time I wake up, I can hear you. Every time I wake up, I can thank you. Every time. And you know what? If the not sleeping is the enemy, I'll start sleeping. Because the guy who used to be the praise leader in heaven can't stand it when people praise God. And if his attacks start causing you to praise God and being grateful and thankful instead of complaining, he'll back off. So he'll either back off and I'll start sleeping, or I just won't care that I don't sleep. He said, well, don't you believe in God for? And, well, sure. But I'm going to be in a bad mood until it manifests itself? Aren't we supposed to hunger for more? Yes. But didn't Paul say, I'm content in all things? Yes. How can they both be true? Right. But they are. Do I hunger to see a greater manifestation of signs and wonders and healings? Yes. Do I believe I'm going to see it? Yes. Because I believe it's a promise from God? Yes. But I'm just so grateful for what I see that I can't live in the deception of ingratitude. The scripture says to bless the Lord at all times. to give thanks in all things. Ephesians 5:20, give thanks for all things. And I love what he told Peter. He didn't say they're going to tie you up and drag you. He said you're going to stretch out your arms. That's the issue. Are you stretching out your arms? When it's not happening fast enough, it doesn't look like you'd prefer. Has it ever crossed your mind that it's the way he prefers it in the moment? And he's blessing you? Instead of you cursing what God's doing, let's start blessing what God's doing. And that'll cause, when you lift Jesus up, the enemy does scatter. That the warfare is not so much the situation, but what's going on inside your head and the attitude and discontentment. Because you understand, we got to see things. We've said this before, people always say the attitude determines altitude. No, it doesn't. You're in Christ, seated in heavenly places. Altitude determines attitude. If you're only seeing things from the ground level, you're going to have an attitude at ground level. But if you're seeing things from heaven's perspective, that's always through the lens of favor and blessing. Then your attitude's going to be one of gratefulness. Does this help? Every place in your life where the enemy is attacking you with emotions, thoughts, you need to stop and go, okay, what blessing am I not believing? Because I must have something and he's trying to steal it. Because that's what he does. Whatever I'm feeling and thinking is a lie. Now, what's the truth? And I can start believing in the truth and manifesting truth from the inside out. The enemy hates that. He said, don't look at anybody else. He told him, he said, why are you worried about him? That's not your business. Follow me. You said you wanted to follow me. You said you wanted to manifest my fullness. Well, follow me. I'm doing it. I'm perfecting that which concerns you. Do you wish you had a bigger car? Well, if God put a bigger car in your heart to pray for it, pray for it. But until then, you got the perfect car. You'd like to have a bigger house? Well, if God's put that in your heart, believe God for a bigger house. But until you get one, you're in the perfect house. You like to change your job? God's put it in your heart? Well, pray for the job. But until that happens, you have the perfect job. So start praising him for it. Well, I'd like to have a better husband or a better wife. Well, until God changes them, start praising him. You've got the perfect wife and perfect husband. If you're going to follow him. I thought it was about him. His purposes. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.